And now, welcome to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin. Who's Talking, featuring interesting guests from our community on News Talk 1360 WCATL. Now, here is D.G. Martin.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, Ron Stutz and I have missed our favorite program for several months. Our favorite program, Ron, wasn't it, with Vicki Jarrett?
Absolutely.
Vicki Jarrett was the editor of Our State Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's no longer the editor of Our State Magazine, so we haven't been able to get together every month and talk about that magazine. But
we love what? North Carolina, and we love Vicki Jarrett.
That's true. But Vicki's joined us today, and we've got some good news. There's a new magazine that you're associated. Tell
us about it.
There's
a new publication, yes. We're in phase one of our launch, which is online, but it's Carolina Byways. And eventually this will be a newspaper insert. So this will be something that gets inserted in Sunday or Wednesday newspapers once a month. And
like a parade or
very similar to parade.
But it'll be focused on North Carolina?
All about North Carolina. Yeah, we're talking about exploring the best of North Carolina.
Wow.
And it's been fun to start working on something brand new from scratch. It's been a long time since I've had that experience, and I had forgotten some of the ups and downs of doing that.
But what are some of the ups and downs of starting a magazine as opposed to just keeping up with
well, for one thing, everything is up for grabs. I mean, you can, you know, decide how big it's going to be, what focus it's going to have, what kind of stories.
The sky's the limit.
And but then you have to start weeding out some things. It has to start coming together as one piece and not just a scatterbrain bunch of ideas. And
well, I bet you've had to answer this question 1,000 times, but in a few words, how's it different from our state magazine? How's Carolina Byways different from our state magazine?
I've always thought that our state, the strength of our state, is the heritage aspect of that magazine. And, of course, some things are changing there now. But, you know, our state has a long history. It's more than 75 years old. And so it really draws on the history of the state as well as what's going on now. This publication, by virtue of being a much shorter publication, it's 16 pages every month, it's not going to have that depth of history and heritage that our state has. So it's a little bit more in the here and now.
It's founded in 2010.
Founded in 2010. That's pretty here and now, I guess. But sure. I would say some of the similarities are we're really looking for those things that people will go, wow, that's just right up the street from me, and I didn't know. You know, and we want to keep finding those kinds of things.
And that, since likes our like
that's
your
similar
leader.
To yeah, our yeah, state. Yeah. Yeah, I would say the stories will be shorter and tighter. There won't be a theme every month. There won't be a photo essay every month. So there will definitely be some differences, and there will also be some similarities. But I think, you know, it's a different distribution model. It's a different size. There are enough differences that it's, you know, you can enjoy one and enjoy the other. It's not an either-or kind of scenario.
You know, Ron, one of the things that's different is that everybody who can go online,
which is about everybody now,
can read this magazine.
Yes.
You're not limited to the printed
yes.
circulation.
As a matter of fact, we made the decision in late December to launch with an online version first. So beginning actually this weekend, each issue will appear in a format that looks very much like you would see it in print. But then you can also go to different pages of the website and just see the articles, you know, flowing without the page design and all that kind of thing. There is some web-exclusive content, which sounds kind of weird when you're talking about a web-only launch, but there are things that would be in the pages and then additional things that would be elsewhere in the website. So once it does come out in print, if you see the print version and you want some extras,
some
you can get some more. Right. Right now, it's all on there. But
it's funny to me, Vicki, you know, we're talking about this as Apple's coming out with its slate or
mm-hmm.
iSlate, the magazine-size
right.
computer,
right.
Which we think, and it's one of the purposes is to deliver content like like this. You're advanced in the sense that this kind of content is available, that the magazine is ready to read.
Yes.
And it's not like reading just the text of something. It's full color, full blown color in a magazine
great
format
photographs.
Right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Vicky's on the cutting edge.
Well,
I've never considered myself a cutting edge person, but this is kind of pushing me in that direction, I'll have to say.
But with the great photography, you mentioned, well just to anticipate, one of the articles written by one of your great writers is about William Friday.
Yes.
That's me, y'all.
One of my favorite writers of all time.
But what was interesting to me is I looked at the article, and it was improved, of course, by your editing of it, but there was a couple of pictures of President Friday, and then a link to see more pictures.
Yes.
That wouldn't have been, I guess, in the print edition if it had been
exactly.
there, but you go see more.
Exactly. Well, you do have some limits with the print edition. You only have so much space. Pages are only so big, and once you fill that up, you have no more room. The Internet gives us so many options. I mean, one of the things we did with that particular story was link the reader back to the interviews that you did with Dr. Friday here at WCHL. You can't do that in the same way in a print edition, but online you have the options of audio and video and photo galleries and all those additional kind of things.
You're not bound by the way you used to do it.
You don't have the same constraints, yeah. So it really, as an editor, it forces me to think of content in a different way. I have to start thinking in terms of a lot of different types of pieces, not just photos, captions, headlines, story.
We're talking, Ron, about the January edition. You've taken a look at it.
Yes,
I have. You've got some favorite stories, and then maybe Vicky will tell us about some of the others.
Well, the most exciting thing I saw was this whole profile on Bill Friday. I mean, I always love learning more about William Friday. He's an amazing guy. He's an icon.
And we're going to have him on the program in just a little bit to talk about his own story.
Sure.
Going right to the source.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I also was struck by some of the photography that was in there, and I see that you're going to have this photo thing, and you're inviting people to send photographs and everything else. And, you know, a lot of the things that I loved about what you did with the other publication, and I'm excited to know that you at some point are going to be, you know, something material that you can hold in addition to the Internet.
Yeah. You know, well, thank you. I'm excited about that part, too, and I'm looking forward to that. As soon as we can get it rolling, I'm very excited about that.
Well, we're going to talk in just a minute with Diane Silcox, Jarrett, about her article about a wonderful coffee place in Durham, so we'll hold off on that. But what about some other articles in the January issue that's available? www.carolinabyways.com.
You can
look at it right now.
Well, I have a blog on there. I was telling Ron earlier that they finally has pushed me into blogs, so I want people to read that and respond to me because that'll give me a chance to dialogue with readers.
So that you'll have immediate dialogue with your readers
to
find out who's reading it, if anybody, because you never know about it. But you'll get that, and then the immediate reactions and suggestions for things that you might do in the future.
Exactly. We have a story in here about the idea of the story was January blahs, you're stuck inside, the weather's cold, you don't really feel like going outside, but you can go outside at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. So we kind of took people on a field trip. You know, I'm working with some first graders right now, and we're all about field trips. We love field trips. So taking people on a field trip to see what that museum has to offer and just the wealth of exhibits. And
I'm so glad you did this because I think for those of us who live in Chapel Hill who think Raleigh's a long distance away, that if there is one thing that's worth driving to Raleigh for, particularly with kids, a walk through that museum is like a walk across the state.
It's wonderful, and you really get the chance to be outside. I mean, there's the Butterfly Room, which I don't believe is called the Butterfly Room, but you walk in there, and you kind of go through a few sets of doors to get in there, and it's a very humid, moist room, as you might expect. Butterflies everywhere. I mean, they brush your face as they fly by. And where else are you going to get to have an experience like that? You know, and you feel like all of a sudden you've stepped into this wonderful garden with just thousands of butterflies.
And
just
kids,
beautiful.
Kids absolutely love it, and adults are fascinated by it, too.
And then the big, huge dinosaur exhibits. I mean, what kid does
whales,
not love going to see
birds,
that?
Foxes,
exactly.
Bears, animals, all everything.
Everything's yeah.
here, and it's it really is a walk across waterfalls.
Yes, waterfalls,
and it's free.
So what we've done is we have that wonderful story, and then we've also said, hey, if you're going to go to Raleigh and you want to make a day of it, we'll give you an itinerary. Here's some other things you can do. Here's where you can go eat, something else you can do in the afternoon. So we've given you a whole day's worth of plan a day in Raleigh and centered around going to the museum.
Well, that's great. We'll talk about some of the other stories later on. Let's take a break, and maybe we can talk to one of your authors.
Okay.
Who will personally tell us about the great story. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Who's Talking on News Talk 1360 WCHL with your host, D.G. Martin. And now, once again, here's D.G.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My co-host is a guy named Ron Stutz. I don't know whether you've ever heard of him or not, but Ron, always a thrill for me to work with you, and the only way I can get you to work with me is to provide the editor of, not of our state,
Carolina Byways.
Carolina Byways.
Of a new magazine called Carolina Byways. But, Vicki, you've recruited some of your friends who wrote for you for our state to write, and you've got a great article about a place in Durham.
That's right. Wake up and smell the coffee. That's what we're all about, right? No, Diane actually told me about this place, Diane Silcox-Jarrett, about a place in Durham called Counter Culture Coffee. And she said, you know, here's this place. Not only do they make great coffee and sell great coffee, they'll teach you how to make it. They have workshops on how to make great coffee and about how to test coffee and taste it and all this. I thought, well, I know there's a bunch of coffee drinkers in North Carolina, and I know they would love to hear this story. And so, of course, we just had to do it. So January seemed like a great month to have a coffee story. So that
was. And I can't think of anything better to write about.
Well,
I'm really weird about my coffee, so I was very excited about going there.
Can you get Diane to tell us the story?
Diane, I don't know. Can we get you to tell us about the story? What was your favorite thing about visiting?
Well, I really liked Mr. Smith. He was the nicest
I tell you
person.
What, I said I would interrupt after about 30 seconds, and I gave you all a minute, but
didn't even
tell
wait
us
that long.
The name of the place and where it is in Durham, and and then tell us all about it.
It is Counter Culture Coffee. It just doesn't quite roll off my tongue fast. You have to say it
but
carefully.
But CCC, Counter Culture Coffee.
And it is in Durham.
Okay.
And Diane has always been a member of the counterculture, so it wasn't a problem for her.
Exactly. It just kind of segued, didn't it?
Well, it is on South Austin Avenue.
And that's not their only location. Is that right, Diane? They have
other... They have one in Asheville and Charlotte. And then there's in New York City and the one in Washington, D.C.
Right. And Atlanta, too? Do they have a...
I think in Atlanta.
Yeah, they have several locations, but the headquarters is right there in Durham. So that's kind of where it all began.
What did you learn, Diane, about coffee and about this place when you did the story?
Well, it's really neat inside, too. It's dark wood, and then they have, right when you go in, that's where they have their coffee tastings. They have their Friday morning cuppings, and you can come in there and you taste different coffees. And but you know, there's layers of it. You got to taste it. And you got to smell it. And you like swish it in your mouth like they do wine.
I was going to say, Diane, this sounds like a wine tasting, but it's not a wine tasting. It's a coffee cupping.
and then after that, you rate them. They give you a little sheet of paper and you rate them. And then after everybody does that, they sit down. They actually you have to everybody could. A lot of these people know what they're doing. Of course, I didn't. And they'll, you know, guess where it came from, what part of the world it came from, what it was made from. And then after everybody guesses, then, you know, they'll tell you the story about where they got the beans and where they went, you know, to talk. You know, talk to these coffee growers. And
so, does coffee actually taste different depending on where it's grown?
Yes, it does.
How about that? See, I'm not a coffee drinker, so
I have to help.
I have no. skills in this area whatsoever.
Well, one of the most overwhelming things is just the aroma. When you walk in there and you smell all this, it just smells great and puts you in another world. And then the taste is something in addition to that.
Have you been to...
No, I have not. But I'm talking about any time you're around a bunch of coffee beans like that.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be an amazing experience.
Well, and freshly roasted. I mean, they roast their beans right there on site, right? Yeah. So that's got
to
be...
Yeah, it's right there. And we got to go in and see where they, you know, they roast the beans. Oh, man. Smells so good.
Well, Diane, you're a smeller, but are you also a drinker?
I'm a drinker. Vicki knows that.
And Dave, what did you learn? Well, I guess I should ask you, is the coffee made at your house now improved since you've put the learning
yes,
that you...
Because I haven't got the right coffee grinder. I don't know what kind I'm supposed to have, but I don't have the right one, and I need one of those. And then also, they talked about how when you set coffee on the pot in the glass one, a glass pot on a burner, how it, you know, it affects the taste of it. So we actually bought a thermos coffee maker.
Oh, well, so you learned
it changed
there
my life, yes.
the glass carafe sitting on the heating element, what does that do to it? Does it burns it?
It changes the taste. So if it goes into the thermos, then it keeps
it keeps a truer taste.
Now, you mentioned that you needed the right kind of coffee grinder.
I don't know what the right kind is.
You need to go back for another class, Diane.
I know.
But you start out saying that it's a lot better if you grind, if you keep the beans and then grind them yourself.
Oh, yeah, I do that every morning.
And you've got a grinder that you're not sure is the best, but you are grinding them.
Every morning, that
makes it better. Now, is it better to grind it down until they're a little tiny powder or to...
I think it's somewhere in between.
Now, my husband is an avid coffee drinker, and I understand that the finer you grind it, it makes it's like the difference between espresso and regular coffee. I mean, the level of the grind changes the intensity, I guess, of the coffee flavor.
So the finer, the more intense.
Yes, because the water absorbs more as it's passing through, is my understanding.
All right, one more question about what you learned. And it is about beans. So when you go now, after learning all this that you did for this great article in Carolina Byways, what is the difference in your purchasing procedure about buying those beans?
I read what's on the label and where it comes from and what if it's going to be really. See, I can't do it real intense.
I'm like you, but if you want to be intense, if you really wanted to do
it, what they tell you is the lighter the bean, the more intense the
coffee would be. And then if you went to buy them, would it be better to buy them fresh every day? Is it in a perfect world? Yeah. No, I'm talking about in a perfect world.
Now, Diane, I want to ask you something. I have heard that when you get coffee beans, that if they are dry looking, they are not at their freshest and their best, that they should have almost kind of a wet sheen to them before you grind them. Did they say anything about that?
Don't remember.
Mm. Well, that's okay, but you've inspired a whole bunch of curiosity. We're going to have to go over.
We need a field trip.
CCC, Counterculture
Coffee
in Durham.
It's just, they send the coffee everywhere. They send it all over the country. They do certain types for certain restaurants. I mean, that's one reason they located there, and they said in Durham because it's such a culinary area right there in Chapel Hill, Durham, and near Raleigh, where there's so many restaurants.
And I should also add that their expertise extends to the grower because they are partnering with growers all over the world to get these beans.
I'm so jealous.
These two men, they go and visit the grower.
Yep.
Now, if they're doing all that, the coffee's got to be pretty expensive, right? They're going to have to charge a lot of money to cover their experiments.
I don't think it's any more than if you're going to go get a finer, it's not going to be like Folgers, but it's...
All right, you've convinced me. Now,
but it's not going to taste like it either.
Right, well...
There's a commercial.
I know.
Somebody, some philosopher along the way said you get what you pay for.
That's right.
Diane, you wrote two articles for this premier edition of Carolina Byways, and one is about another college town in Greenville.
Yes.
And can you get
Let
her
me
to
set
tell
that
us about
up? Yeah. Yeah. One of the departments that will be regularly recurring in Carolina Byways is something we're calling 7 in 24. And the idea is to give you 7 things to do if you have a 24-hour period in a town. And so we want to highlight towns and communities all around North Carolina with this idea.
And get
of,
focused.
And, yes.
Yeah, not just everything, but here's the...
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not a tour of the town. It's not the history of the town. It's just a quick look. Here's 7 things you can do if you happen to be able to be in that area, can go to this town. So the first one we did was Greenville. And Diane wrote it for me, and she came up with 7 wonderful things. As a matter of fact, she emailed me very early in the process and said, does it have to be only 7 things?
No, of course, yeah.
So I think that's going to be our challenge going forward, is how to narrow the list down to just 7. But she came up with a great list. Diane, do you have a favorite out of those 7 things that stuck out?
Gee, I think their greenway system, to me, is
River
wonderful.
Park North,
uh-huh.
And their greenway, yeah.
I've got the Tar River flows through Greenville, and
right.
We remember... A little
yeah,
bit.
And they have the Science and Nature Center there, and I just think that would be so nice to be able to get out there and do that.
So if you had if somebody from Chapel Hill is passing through Greenville on the way east to the shore someplace, or and had to make one stop, what would you tell them to do?
Oh, probably go to the Greenville Museum of Arts, because they have that large collection from the North Carolina Jug Pound.
Number one on the list.
Number one on the list. Oh. Well, that's great, and I wish we had more time to talk to you about Greenville, but if we talked about Greenville, everybody in Chapel Hill would be calling us and say, why didn't she do Chapel Hill first?
It's on the list. We will do 7 in 24 in Chapel Hill, no doubt. No doubt at all.
Oh, that sounds great. Diane, thank you so much for the articles.
Thank you for having me.
And for sharing with us the learning that you got from about both coffee and about Greenville, and we look forward to visiting with you again sometime soon.
All right, thanks.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about another story that Vicki has, talking about Carolina Byways, Vicki Jarrett's new magazine. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Who's Talking on News Talk 1360 WCHL with your host, D.G. Martin. And now, once again, here's D.G.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Ron Stutz is my co-host. And, Ron, what a great pleasure to work with you, as always.
Oh, thanks for letting me be on the radio. This is a real thrill for me.
I know. If you keep,
if
you keep doing a good job, we're going to let you try it for the morning show
thanks.
Here at WCHL.
I appreciate that.
And we're also joined, of course, by Vicki Jarrett. Vicki Jarrett used to join us in another context. She is now the editor of a new magazine, Carolina Byways.
I am indeed.
And Carolina Byways is available to you at this moment, the first issue online, www.carolinabyways.com. Anybody, anywhere in the world can read this magazine. So you have a circulation of 6 million people.
Billions, yes. I do happen to know that we've had some people from Germany looking at it. I don't know the number of hits on the website, but I know Germany is interested. So.
Well, I'll guarantee you there'll be a daughter in Singapore reading it.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
Well, the voice you heard is our friend, President Emeritus William Friday. And the reason we were able to persuade him to join us is not because there's an article about him in this January issue, but because we won't tell Ida, but he loves Vicki Jarrett.
Oh.
Well, I have
there
to
you go getting me in the ditch.
Oh, we don't want to get you into trouble. But
well,
I have to tell
right.
you that there was no question in my mind when we were talking about this first issue of Carolina Byways, it was so important to me to have something about Dr. Friday.
You're very kind.
You
I'm
know,
very
our,
humbled by it, Vicki.
Well,
that's very sweet of you. And I guess when you get approaching 90 and get bow-legged and all that, that kind that kind of benevolence is...
Well, you can call it benevolence if you want, but it was very selfish on my part, because our headline is North Carolina's Truest Friend, and I truly feel that that is what Dr. Friday has been to everyone in North Carolina. So to do this publication, Carolina Byways, we just had to start from that point.
Well, I think all of us in Chapel Hill appreciate how much all of the great things in this town that bring attention from the other part of the state and other parts of the world. And well, President Friday is one of
like
those. One of those
three of you sitting
things.
There, DG, you know, you write these articles about me, but I'm a part of a generation, and no more than that. But I just thinking of what you, as a columnist, have done, and there's Ron, who's Central North Carolina's morning man. Everybody listens to him, and of course, Vicky's the, she's the one who's going to wake us all up with a new style of journalism. And but it's just it's good to be with all of you. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, thank you.
I guess this. I mean, I guess all of us try to learn from others, and the leadership lesson that you've just given us about how to get things done, and that is to listen and appreciate the people that you're working with. And at least with me, you had to stretch, but you recognize the great achievements of these other people. And man, we're ready to do what you tell us to do now after that.
Well, but and what you just said, the lessons learned, one of the things that I admire so much and wanted to get in part of this article, and DG, you did such a wonderful job of drawing this out, is the passion, Dr. Friday, that you have for North Carolina. And that, I guess, is one of the most important things to me in doing a publication like this. We love North Carolina, and I want everybody to love North Carolina that way. And who better to kind of set the standard for that than Dr. Friday? And so, you know, as we write this article and we talk about what he's doing now and North Carolina people and the phone calls you're making on behalf of various projects, Dr. Friday, that speaks to the passion you have for making this state better and making it all that it can be. We need more of that. We need people who are loving North Carolina to that level.
Well, you know, Vicki, the reason for that kind of behavior on the part of all of us is we're all such beneficiaries. We've got wonderful mountains. We've got the most coastline of any eastern state. We've got a central Piedmont that's full of history and tradition. We've got the finest universities in the South. We've got every kind of climate you can imagine. And we've got such enterprising people. And when you add all those ingredients together, there's a mix, there's a stirring, there's a volatility to the state that produces things like the first symphony, the first university, the first airplane flight. You can't help it. It happens in the chemistry of a state like this. And that's why when I was working for the university, when I got up every morning, I knew that it would not be like yesterday. Mm. There would be something different, some new person, some new experience. And that's what makes it so vibrant. And
I suspect
I don't know another state that can say that.
I agree with you. And I suspect your days are still like that, that you're still getting up thinking today's going to be different, today's going to be new.
Well, you can make it so if you really work at it, because that's what being alive is. But, you know, North Carolina will nudge you into it, starting with Ron in the morning.
That's right. Ron gets you up and gets you going, that's for sure.
You get the weather report and the first box score of what happened last night, and you're off and running.
Well, you know,
I've got a visual image in my mind now of Mr. Friday running around after listening to the radio. It's funny.
Well, I've listened to you for a long time.
You got a big responsibility, Ron. A lot of people are listening to you in the morning and doing what you tell them to do.
Well, I appreciate your being out there.
I had this wonderful time in Israel and Jordan, and over in Jordan is this mountain where Moses climbed up to before the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan to go into the Holy Land. He'd been leading people for almost as long as you've been leading us in North Carolina, and got up there and got a glimpse looking out over the plains to Jericho and all the way up to that mountain where Jerusalem is, and thought, I guess, you know, who knows what was going through his mind, but right now you're sort of on that mountain looking out, and you've climbed it, and looking out towards the future of North Carolina. And what do you see out there that is both the positive things and the things that we have got to watch out for, the dangers that you see for us ahead?
Well, D.G., that's a heavy assignment, but I tell you, when you do a television program where you get such a marvelous cross-section of people to talk with, you get a feeling about North Carolina. And first is that the greatest thing about it is the vibrance and enthusiasm of its citizens. You can't fool them. They want to work. They're enterprising. They always like for the new idea. And when you take that circumstance as the median of the population, and you place it in a place that's blessed so naturally as this state is, and blessed with so many wonderful civic enterprises, you can only feel a sense that the future is out there. And when you look at our state right now, yes, we have some very serious problems of water availability, highway saturation, population concentrations. We haven't restudied the tax structure the way we should have since 1931. I can give you a lot of those kinds of things. And we're struggling with things like, what kind of health care? Where can we do it? How can we do it? We build these magnificent medical centers which attract people here in retirement, which is what we want. But what are we doing, you know, to make those over 65 now more at home in here, in the sense of, I found that people in that age block and on up are very productive, very enterprising, very willing to do. We just aren't utilizing that talent as much as we should. But even with all of that, when you ask anybody yet today about where to go when you want to find excitement and industry in the South, you go to North Carolina. And that, I think, is the direct result of the fact of the vibrance of our great institutions, public and private, like your Davidson and Wake Forest and all the other private in our neighbor Duke, of course. But the great medical centers that have accumulated here, the work of the research triangle that is now literally transforming itself into a different enterprise entirely. I had a brochure sent to me by Charles Hamner just past a week that says things about what he's doing now in that new biotech operation that just your imagination can't embrace it. So that's why it's different. That's what's out there. But we must deal immediately with the problem of the supply of water, the utilization of land, and the strength of the schools. These are things that will not be denied, and our people have the will to do it and the energy to do it, and that's why I'm so enthusiastic about what will happen. That's where it is.
Well, that's just great. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm full of this Israel Holy Land experience, and one of the things that I learned.
I can only imagine what it was like. But
we'll do that.
It's spiritual.
I tell you, I learned about the prophets. I learned more than I knew about the prophets. And it's not just sort of this mystical ability to see, you know, way beyond in the future. It is the ability to look at the present and see what that means for the future. And I just have to put you in the pantheon of prophets, because you've just given us a whole bag full of it, and I think we all thank you for that.
Well, you're too generous, but I just think, you know, you wrote about my generation, and when you think back about that group that came back here after World War II, there were actually five classes merged into one, and that concentration has stuck together, and people that weren't, we didn't mention, Pat Taylor was in that group, a half a dozen Superior Court judges that I can mention. And that's, you always remember that in this state, there is a great tradition of public service. I think that began back in the days, even of the founding of the university. But the plain and simple driving force has been that we don't go around and talk to each other about it. We just do it. And when you look at the leadership. For example, Archie Davis came over from the Wachovia Bank and gave, or Carr Scott came up from the farm and dairy and gave, or you can pick any area of human activity. There's the lodestar out there that gave you the symbolism of giving back. And that is the genius of North Carolina as far as I can measure. And really, it's joy, because you see so many wonderful things result from it. So that's where we are, and that's what we've got to do.
Well said.
Thank you, Mr. Friday.
And thank you all for letting me talk.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Who's Talking on News Talk 1360 WCHL with your host, D.G. Martin. And now, once again, here's D.G.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. If you've been listening to us, you know that we're visiting with Vicki Jarrett, who is the new editor of a new magazine called Carolina Byways. Vicki has experience in another magazine that we loved and is taking some of that experience, blending it with new things to create an entirely new magazine. And gosh, we have the privilege of visiting with Bill Friday, thanks to you, and learning about a wonderful coffee facility over in Durham. What else, Vicki, have you got in mind on Carolina Byways? Or what else in the in the current issue?
Well, just a couple things I want to mention. First of all, you're giving me a lot of credit for Carolina Byways, and I have to say that this is the brainchild of a man named Dwight Chandler.
Yeah, how did he get started?
He's had this idea for almost 3 years now, and I've been working with him for the last year, but this is really his baby, and a lot of credit to him for coming up with the concept and really doing that first thinking through the idea and that kind of thing. So,
well, I'll give him credit, and I'll tell you what I give him credit for, because this has got to be the toughest economic times to start a magazine. And so the temptation would be to just defer everything, and y'all have gone ahead, and the ultimate plan is to distribute it as a magazine as a part of North Carolina newspapers.
Right.
But right now, instead of not doing it, it's online, and it's really more available to more people.
It is, and it will always be available online. The intention is to keep these issues archived so that when the February issue comes out next week, you'll still be able to find January material online. I think we've covered most of the main things in the January issue, but if you want to just explore it to its fullest, go to CarolinaByways.com and just have a good time running through
a free
everything.
Magazine about North Carolina online. Colorful pictures and all this.
Well, and it's also interactive. You can share in the Carolina Byways community.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can be a part of it.
Yes, you can. We have polls online. We will be having an interactive quiz of sorts that you can take, just some trivia questions. We certainly want reader comment. As a matter of fact, the opening column to each issue is called Seen and Heard, and it will certainly be things that I have seen and heard, but I am hoping to hear from readers, too, and just tap into all those nooks and crannies of the state and find out great places to eat, interesting places to stop and visit or shop or just whatever. And, you know, there's no way if I spent every single day going out that I could find these things, so I'm really counting on readers to do that as well. February, we've got some great feature stories, including a story about the production of a documentary-type program that has been picked up by the History Channel. It's already launched, and it's about Bowman Gray Stadium. And so this is being produced in part by local North Carolina folks, but History Channel's picked it up, and that's quite a coup for us. And so we're excited to have that story in the February issue, and we have some other good things coming up as well, including a fan's fan. You know, what is the ultimate fan? And we've identified one, and we are hoping that readers will say, yeah, but I know another one, and we want to hear about all these
like
great fans.
Like an athletic fan, a team
fan.
Yes,
like especially college basketball. Mm. I mean, this is the season for college basketball, have zeroed in on
we don't care about that in Chapel Hill.
No, that's what I've heard about Chapel Hill. No basketball here, right? So, and we've also got some great chocolate in the February issue. You know, Valentine's Day's coming up, guys. You got to be thinking about this. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, that's just great. Again, www.carolinabyways, one word, or that's one word,
right, dot com.
Ron Stutz, it's always a pleasure to do business with you, buddy.
Yes, sir. I see you all the time, but it's great to see Vicki Jarrett again. Haven't seen you in a while.
It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to visit with you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting WCHL. Give Carolina Byways the same kind of loyal support that you've given us, and we'll be right back here soon.